Hello and welcome to Inspire, your grown-up girl talk. I'm Stacey Fleece with co-host Samantha Tredelius today. Not that that's different than any other day.
It's not.
It is different today, different guests, different stuff. This is going to be good. Are you ready? Buckle up.
I am so ready. Here we go. This one is our first Wikipedia holding interview. I mean, what an accomplished woman. I can't wait. She's all in black, just like us. Let's go.
She blends. So let me start a little bit my morning this morning. I, like many women, have body issues of all kinds, like body issues times a million. So getting dressed in the morning for me is not always a real pleasant task because I've got, you know, three closets worth of clothes and I've got about four items I wear, right? That's typical. So And it's, you know, what am I not feeling too fat to wear today? And this whole trauma. And what I love about our guest today, Franny Goldie, is that, well, she's got such a cool background, but her company that we're going to talk about, she really started it to make getting dressed the easiest part of the day. And Franny, I have to tell you, I don't think getting dressed has ever been the easiest part of my day, ever, 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 ever. So if you could make that happen with your amazing designs, I would be forever grateful. How are you, Franny?
Good. Great. I love being here with you guys. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, get ready because here we go.
Uh-oh, buckle up. Going to be a bumpy ride. All right.
I want to first talk, you've got multiple layers. So if you're listening to this one, stay tuned to the end because there's all kinds of places we're going with this. But I want to first talk about your clothing company, Franny Goldie, and how it started with your, and there's so many people start companies because they can't find what they need. And they're like, fuck it, I'll do it myself. And that's sort of where you started with zero understanding, experience, knowledge of the fashion industry. So I don't know how you just go, fuck it, I'll just do it. Like, that's amazing, first of all. But talk about that whole process of what you couldn't find and how you were like, I'm just going to fix it.
Well, I mean, it started a little bit before that. The school would have their fundraisers, you know, when I had a child in school. And they were always asking the parents to get involved and help raise money for the school. And because I had been in the music business, I knew people and I would ask like, oh, can I get a signed guitar? Can I get, you know, which I got to say, Sheryl Crow twice.
Wow.
Okay. Champion. We love that.
We love her. We love her. So she, you know, and my husband at the time got some drumsticks from Ringo, you know, things like that. And we were like, oh my God, can you get something, you know, else? And who else do you know? And I ran out of faith. I mean, how many times can you go to somebody and say, can you do me a solid? So organically, I just started. A lot of the moms would say, oh, where'd you get that? Where'd you get that? And I don't know, maybe because I was a musician and songwriter, always kind of dressed a little bit different and funky, and I wanted to create my own style. And so I thought, oh, maybe I'll just do like a boutique in the school gym, which I asked, can I do that? I did it. I was sold out the first day the day. It sold out by the end of the day. And then I started getting phone calls from the moms. My mother-in-law saw this. My sister saw that. My cousin saw that. Can you get more? What's the deal? Can we come to your house? Do you have a bit? So it sort of morphed organically into me having people come over to my house, and I would go to like sample sales and kind of gather things. I made a lot of things, like crafty things, like candles and little makeup bags and all kinds of things. Anyway, at one of these sample sales I went to, I found this pant and I loved that it was like stretchy. It was kind of high waisted. It was sort of a pant that I'd always been looking for, but it wasn't exactly right. And of course, I knew nothing except I would a lot of times, because I never felt that anything looked right on me growing up, I always had my scissor and my needle and thread ready. And I wore a lot of clothes that were custom cut and sewn and of my own doing.
That's a good skill right there.
That is a talent. I know.
Cut a piece of my clothing.
Yeah.
I don't know how good they look, but, you know, I did my best.
Talent.
Anyway, I got a couple pairs of these pants and I just started playing around. And I went to the fabric store. I got some extra fabric. I kind of attached things, safety pins, sewing. And then I just said, you know, I have never been able to find a pair of pants that is like the perfect pant for me.
And
I have big hips, big booty, small waist. You know, my legs are not perfection. I want something that grazes my body, that I can pull on, that's stretchy, that's comfortable. And like you were saying, I mean, I knew nothing, but I just set out to do it. I found cutters, sewers, pattern makers, developed, you know, fabric, figured out how to reach out to fabric manufacturers. I mean, all kinds of things I had never done in my life. And I love a challenge. It was super creative and fun. And
here we are. Here's what I love about, because the background, which we'll talk, your background was something so different. But, you know, people connecting and being able to kind of go, okay, let's try this or let's go and source this. I mean, you did take those skills to go out into this, you know, product making. I mean, I'm like finance head. I could never, like, I'm like, I'm just blown away with the fact that you're like, yeah, I just went out, got fabrics, got sewers, got these things, and here we go. I mean, it's very cool.
It's not as easy as it sounds.
Sure.
It's a lot of, you know, walking and looking and calling people. And do you know this? And do you know someone? And, you know.
And all the things you don't know. I mean, there's so many things that we as consumers don't realize the end result of a product, you know, from the stitching to the length to the fabric. I mean, all those little things are, it's, I mean, we don't even know the beginning of it.
Yeah, exactly. It's like learn as you go. And, you know, people say like, well, how did you do this? I mean, how did you start your business? It's like you just move forward and you get things done. You know, getting things done is to get it done.
So you made this pant because you could not find the perfect pant. So you're like, fine,
for me,
myself. And that was really the foundation of your line, which is now a full expanded line of products.
Yes.
But this pant got dubbed the magic pant, mm-hmm, by Oprah and her people. So how did her, I can't remember the guy's name.
Again, Adam Glassman. That was so crazy. So
I remember watching the show and her talking about the magic pants.
Well, it was kind of crazy because I was ready to give up, which I never do, but I was in that headspace. You know, you have to pull yourself out. And I called a friend of mine who had been making t-shirts. And I said, I've gotten to this point. I need somebody to make a small run of these pants that I finally have a really solid sample to, you know, go forward.
Right.
And I, you know, she's one of those people. I love her, but she's kind of like, she doesn't want to give her secrets away and her people and share and, you know, and I was like, I just was crying. I said, I don't know how to get to the next step. I know you've got a manufacturer. Would you be willing to just share? She says, well, she's super busy. I know she's not going to take you on, but I'll give you her number. And that was it. I called her the next day. She said, I'm really busy. I don't think I can take you on, but come down and I'd like to see what you're doing. So maybe I can set you on the right path. So I went to meet her and I came in with, you know, an armload of samples and a pattern and I don't know, all kinds of stuff and a bolt of fabric. And I just laid it on her table and I told her kind of what I told you and my little mission of getting to this place. By the end of an hour, she said, okay, I'm in love with you. I want to do this. I believe in what you're doing. Let's give it a shot.
Nice.
It's 8 years later. Yeah. And I am still with her.
Wow.
I love her. And my friend said, if, you know, she's going to go through, I want the first sample off the, I want the first pair off the
pair. She made the intro.
And okay. Send her a pair. Her friend saw them and said, oh my God, I need those. Where did you get them? I sent her a pair. Unbeknownst to me, she was very good friends with Adam Glassman, who was the, I don't know what.
He was her like
stylist and, you know, fashion guru kind of person.
Yeah.
And he was like, what is this selfie? Like, why are you sending me this? And she said, because these are my new favorite pants. So I got an email from him on the website, which I couldn't even believe. I'd been open, like, you know, on the website for maybe a month. And that was it. He asked me, could you send me some pants in every size? I sent them all. Never heard another word. I was like, okay, well, that was like, I was high for like, you know, a week, you know, like, nothing. My, you know, September, October, November, December, January, I get a call from my girlfriend screaming, are you sitting down? Oh my God, I'm a Target. I'm standing in line. I'm checking out. Have you read O Magazine? I'm like, no, what? You're in O and they've dubbed you the magic pan.
Oh my God.
Don't you feel like they could have at least
given a little heads up, Oprah? Come on. So yeah. when that happens, I mean, how quickly were you getting orders after? I would assume rapidly, right? I mean, something like that is like a water faucet.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing. And, you know, it's kind of like, you know, those are like good problems to have. And you learn as you go, like, oh, my God, what if we sell out? You know, can we put a pre-order on this site? Can we do this? Can we do that? So you kind of learn as you go. From there, we were in People Magazine, and the same thing happened. My girlfriend was going to New York. I knew her from the music business. She was a PR person, and she was meeting with some of the music editors for one of her bands that she was promoting. And I had given her a pair of pants, and she wore them to the meeting. And the girl said, oh, I love your pants. And she was like, oh. She picked up the phone, send a pair of pants to the editor of the music something at People. I'm like, what?
Come on.
So, you know, I sent a few pair, different sizes. I figure, ooh, okay. Same thing. Had no clue. There was no anything.
No heads up. No, like,
nothing.
Because this is going in next month.
Yeah.
And it was like, I kind of like to say.
And they said something like, it's become a cult or something, like these pants are like, you know, get in on it kind of thing. That was crazy, crazy. I mean, it was like twice, three times the open.
But how do you scale for that? I mean, being that you had no idea that it was happening. I mean, I'm assuming you didn't have the kind of inventory to supply this. I mean, what was that hurdle like?
Kind of like, I called my friend, the, you know, manufacturer. I'm like, okay, you know.
Ready, girl.
Get ready. We need, I don't know how many, you know, and I learned about pre-orders, and we just kept, you know, she kept making them. And
they kept selling.
And they kept selling. I mean.
So this is expanded now, obviously, to a full line on your website. But the cool thing, first of all, there's multiple versions of the magic pant, which I'm super excited about. But the cool thing is that you are making clothes that, you know, people can look great in, pulled together without shapewear.
Everything has stretch, you know, so it will accommodate, you know, I want it to be good for everybody. No, it's not shapewear, although it enhances your shape. I mean,
that's what we all need.
Yeah. I mean, it holds you in the right places. It comes high enough. I mean, I know for me, I have a little bit of a spare tire. I don't want something under it. I want something over it. So, you know, they're a little higher in the back. So when you sit down, you don't feel like your pants are falling down. It's got a really generous rise so that, you know, it comes up to your waist and you feel, you know, secure. You're not feeling like you're kind of, your spare tire is folding over your pants.
You're not showing things that you don't want to show. So I had the great pleasure of sitting on a panel with you and I heard you speak and you stood up and you had your pants on and a great look. And your idea and the message that you were trying to share was just kind of like what Stacey was saying, how we all have just those 4 or 5 items that we rotate in our capsule, so to speak. So the line is really about having those 4, 5, 6 pieces that you can mix and match and throw in a bag and travel and, you know, wear and go. Because let's be honest here, people, unless we've got an event or something, I mean, the most normal gals, I mean, we don't have time to dick around with what are we wearing today? It's like, we want to look good. We want to put our best foot forward, but you know, we want something that's, you know, fashionable and can be easy to get on and out of, right?
Right. Right. And what I try to do is make your basics foundation, the backbone of your wardrobe, if you will. So, you know, a great t-shirt, you know, but we go to really great pains to make, to perfect everything. Like I like a really sharp V and I don't like something that's got a super wide neckline. I want the V to be like, you know, a sharp V that it just elevates it. And, you know, and your pants and a great long sleeve t-shirt and a great blouse and a great top that you can throw on that's a little bit, I won't say dressy, but just elevated so that you look put together if you want that for.
Well, I think we all want that. I mean, we all want to look as good as we possibly can, although some days are more accomplished than others. But I mean, the price points are great. I think the look is phenomenal. And it really is those timeless pieces that are, you know, they're not bad wear. I mean, they're things that are going to be going the distance and mix and match well with other key things that maybe you want to incorporate into them, which I think is also because a lot of times you'll find lines that only work with, you know, a certain season or a certain, you know, vibe that you're going for. So yours is kind of all across the board, which I think can speak to many of us gals out there and the breathability. I mean, come on, who doesn't want stuff? As we get a little older, ladies, you know, the tight, uncomfortable is a thing of we're not doing that anymore. We can't.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Like, nobody wants to sit there uncomfortable in a meeting, like barely being able to breathe because your friggin' Spanx are too tight.
Sometimes breathing is overrated. That's all I'm gonna say. That's all I'm gonna say.
So, like,
here's what I wanna
pivot
just a little bit because this is where I wanna take it back a little further because your previous life, before you decided you were going to make this perfect black pant because you couldn't find it, you are a Grammy-nominated singer-songwriter. You've been on, participated in countless albums, so many singles listed on your Wikipedia page. I can't even name them all. You were nominated for the Songwriters Hall of Fame. Like you had this whole other hugely successful life. You're big time.
You're a badass.
And like, did you ever think when you were like, I gotta make a better black pant that it was going to turn into this whole Franny Goldie, beautiful clothing line that women are falling all over themselves about?
Never, never. I mean, it, you know, it sort of happened again, you know, organically. I mean, I guess it was 2011 when I started doing the, you know, school boutique kind of thing. And, you know, fast forward to 2016, where I actually started the website and pushed the button August 1st of 2016.
Can you imagine if Adam Glassman hadn't found you on the web? Like, what if you didn't have the website?
But I mean, who knows? I mean, that'd be interesting.
Timing was great. Not to interrupt. Go back.
No, that would have been, I mean, interesting to, you know, you never know what can happen. I tell people all the time, you never know. You just never know. In 2013, my husband was diagnosed with early onset Alzheimer's. And the music business was kind of changing and people were downloading, streaming, you know, they had LimeWire, Spotify, this, Pandora, blah, blah, blah. And I don't know, things were just not the same. The people that used to record, like the Whitneys and Diana Ross and this one and that one, they weren't even making records that often. I mean, maybe Whitney, but it was just a complete change. Producers were taking over and becoming, you know, the whole pie with songwriting and working with the artist as a producer, writer. And I was a little concerned, like, I didn't know what it was going to cost to take care of my husband, because I read a lot about, I didn't even know exactly what Alzheimer's was. I had heard of it. I knew, you know, the word dementia. But as I delved into it, I was kind of like, whoa, this could get real bad. It did. And my husband passed away in December of 22. And, but anyway, yeah, I get emotional when I talk about it. So I'm kind of losing track of where
that's
I was. So
that's still pretty recent, pretty fresh. And
yeah, pretty
wow. You are allowed for that.
And to grow a company, you know, and doing what you were doing and having to deal. I mean, nobody knows what happens behind closed doors, right? To be able to have a whole nother focus.
Yeah, he saved my life. Mm-hmm. I, you know, sold my music catalog. I kept my writer's portion. So it's like 50-50. I kept, you know, my bit of royalties. And when I sold it, I sort of, I always said, if I lose that feeling when I sit at the piano, if it's not there anymore, I'm not going to write, because you have to have that desire to want to write music. So I just poured myself into this clothing thing, and it was new. It was something fresh. It was something that could take, you know, my mind off of my heartbreak and what was happening in my private life. And it saved my life.
I love it. I mean, it's amazing what, you know, a random, you know, pair of pants can do for you. You know, they're so magical in so many ways. Now, I am a huge music person. Like I love music. And I have to ask you, you know, I'm always very interested is the music industry. And because you have been in it for, you know, so long and it's probably seen so many cycles, is it really, I mean, has it come a long way for women? Or, you know, so many industries have not always been so good to women. And you see a lot of artists, you know, you watch their, you know, movies and the things, and women are just treated like shit. And I'm sure you've probably seen your fair share of that. Have you felt that it's evolved, or do you feel like it's still very suppressive to women?
I mean, I think it's evolved in some ways. I mean, I'm not as close to it as I used to be. I would say that I know a few people that are executives, like actually on the business side. I do think it's opened up. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I know for artists, it's always, you know, I mean, women are all over the place, you know, Taylor Swift,
right?
You know, and all the female artists that are out there. But executive wise, probably could do a little better, but women are definitely on the executive side more so now than ever.
I feel like an artist like Taylor Swift, I'm not only extremely talented, just God-given talent coming out of every pore of her body, but she's also a very smart and savvy businesswoman.
Very.
I don't feel like a lot of artists necessarily have that smart and savvy business person side. And, you know, how hard is it to surround yourself with the right people to fill that gap that aren't going to take advantage of you in an industry like that?
I think it's difficult. I really do. You know, artists tend to be solitary. You know, they get into their little cocoon. You know, they like to write their songs, or, you know, a lot of performers are quite shy and quite insulated. And so, you know, getting the right people, it's, boy, I mean, if you're lucky enough to find those people who really take care of you and are supportive of you and honest. I mean, Taylor Swift was in a weird situation with her best manager, which is why she redid her albums. So, you know, hopefully if you are in one of those situations, you find your way out. A lot of people don't.
How was it when you started your career, as far as even just the way you were treated being a woman in the space? I mean, was it like arms are welcoming, or did you have to work twice as hard because you were a woman?
I think I felt pretty accepted.
You were that good because you were good.
And, you know, I had so many people that helped me along the way. I did get into a bad management situation. I ended up getting sued by these managers. You know, it was early on. I was in my 20s. I was learning the ropes.
We don't know what we don't know.
Exactly. Exactly. But once I knew, and, you know, I really was lucky. I had a fantastic manager eventually. And yeah, kind of like a Taylor situation where you get into a bad situation and then you learn and you grow and you find, you know, you surround yourself with people that are really great and honest, helpful.
I love that you've had such enormous success in two very distinct worlds, albeit both very creative. And so still using your creativity, but what a journey with a fun, you know, Alzheimer's, more than you ever wanted to know, adventure in the middle. I know you are in the process of writing your memoir.
Oh my God, if I ever can fit it.
You will, girl.
I was going to say, in all your spare time, it's going to be an incredible read. Any ETA on that, or is it still
a
process?
Yeah, that is still a process. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I've been working on it for so long, and I have chapters here and there. I don't know how it will end up or in what form. A lot of the time, I feel like it's going to be essays about different times in my life. I wrote a lot about Alzheimer's and my husband and my experience in that world, mostly because I wanted to share and help other people.
It's valuable stuff.
Because people don't, a lot of times people don't talk about a lot of things that, you know, really, I think when you open up the box and say, okay, here's what happened to me, you're going to have so many things come at you. People are going to connect. Because you yourself are just such a, like, we're on a Zoom call and I could tell, like, I've actually been in your presence, so I can speak to this, but you are a very connected person by nature. You've got good juju around you. And I think anything that you do, girl, is going to be amazing. And I just can't say thank you enough for, you know, sharing 30 minutes with you. I feel that the world is now a better place in the inspired world. We will post all of your links. We will post how to get those magic pants that every single one of us better run out and go buy this week.
I want to give your audience a code. I wish I had one available.
We'll post it.
I'm going to get you guys a code so everybody can try whichever pair they like.
And there's so many other good things on there too.
Yes, we'll be running around the Women of Inspired with magic pants. Thanks to Franny. Thank you so much. We hope that everybody gets out there this week and is inspired.